And I was actually reading this, and it just dawned, something dawned on me that I had never really thought of before. It's a very common passage, the first one. Nope. Hannah, do you want to just... What have you done, Hannah? Sibling rivalry. The first one. It's funny when you have your children helping you out. Okay. He, obviously being God, has made everything. Is there any chance we can get this on? No? No, it's not. It's not a huge deal, but it just means I don't have to turn my back to you. I'll just read for now. He has made everything beautiful in its time. In its time, he has also set eternity in the hearts of men and women, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And I've heard that a lot. I don't know about you, but I've heard that scripture a lot. And I've never really thought about the very first part where it says he has made everything beautiful in its time. Adding that "its" just changes the whole sentence. It doesn't say he has made everything beautiful in time. He says it's made everything beautiful in its time. And I thought about that. I'm like, that kind of doesn't really make any sense. How can something have a time? How can a thing have a time? Now, this is where my brain comes into play. Like, I get a little bit scientific. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. So I try and think about it in terms of science, and then it actually does make a lot of sense. And I was actually reminded of Einstein's theory when he unified space and time. He didn't personally unify it. He just made it clear to everyone that this is what happens. And previous to his theory, time was always considered to be something that no one could really explain. And we live in our three-dimensional universe, and time is just something that we move from A to B. We tend to think of time as a linear pathway in a straight line. And Einstein came along and said, through a whole lot of things which I won't explain, that's actually not true. Actually, time can't be considered apart from space. Now, I will actually go through what that means, but it means that a thing or a person or an object can actually have a time, and it means because you can't be separated from time. Universe is space and time together. That's what God created. He didn't create the universe and then create time. He created it as one whole thing that we move through as one thing. Now, because we think about time in terms of A to B, we tend to think of eternity as where? Where would you think of eternity? If time is from A to B, where does eternity? At the end, right? So most people were like, we go through time, we start time here, we go along, we live at different points, we die at different points, and then eventually we get to eternity. But that's, when you actually think about it, that's actually incorrect. If time isn't linear from A to B, then eternity is not at the end, right? And the reason that will affect us is because if we think of eternity as somewhere over there, we live our lives very differently. If eternity is something that's waiting to happen at the end of my life, or at the end of time, then how I live my life now is very different than if eternity was right now. And so if time is not from A to B, and time is a four-dimensional unified space, then eternity is never closer to you than where you are right now. Now, you could just keep going forever. It's called eternity. It's called forever. That's what forever means. Now. So eternity is right with you right now. And so I think we possibly would live our lives maybe just a little bit differently, but we do have to understand time in a non-linear fashion. Before I get into that, let's have a look at another scripture. Trying not to be too ridiculous. Lamentations 3, 22 to 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Just keep that one up. How can they be new every morning? Like, I get God is big, but eternity is a long time. It's not really in time, but it's like forever is forever. And God is big, but like his mercy is being new every day seems almost really hard to understand. But if his mercies are new every morning, it's because every moment we exist is a moment that has never been before. So his mercies are present. That's what that's saying. His mercies are in the present, are in our present, my present. They're right here with me right now. Eternity is right now. His mercies are right now. That's why they're new every morning, because they're again, 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 again. So this idea that time is not linear, you know, Einstein said that motion, as in atoms, as in us and things that exist, they affect time. They affect our passage through time. He also said that time can't be considered as an independent framework, which I just said. And then he unified, like I said, time and space into a four-dimensional universe called space-time. Now, I'm going to try and give you a couple of analogies. The first one is, you know, I've never seen one because I'd probably die if I saw one. But you know, like in the jungle, how you have those massive webs. And they're not like the flat webs. They're like the three-dimensional webs that are all like, you know, do you know what I'm saying? And they're like white. And you know that there's a mother of all evil species living on the inside of that thing. If you could try and imagine, putting aside the evil spiders, try and imagine that space-time is a massive web. And it's a group of infinite timelines running into and out of each other. In such case, time doesn't move with the tick of a clock, but with the path of a choice taken. Okay? So technically, time moves as choices are made. Time moves as things exist. And if you've ever thought about that in a way of sometimes you think, well, I know I do, time just seems to be speeding up. Like you just think, man, the days are going so quick, the years are going so quick. It is actually happening because our lives are so fast-paced. We are actually, you can't see it, we are actually speeding up time by our actions, because time isn't separate from any of us. I am getting to a place where this will make a difference to your lives, I promise. The second analogy, so we've got the web, if you want to imagine that. The second analogy is, I need an iPad or something. Yeah, but I can't really grab that. Well, you can see it from here. You know an iPad? Let's just pretend that's an iPad. That'll work. I have my iPad here, BookPad. Time and space, so the universe basically, could be considered as that. It's its own thing. And outside of that is eternity. So time isn't at one end or at the other. Time is just outside of it. So space-time within it is all the little intricate networks that go on inside of the iPad, which we are in. And where you exit that iPad, aka where you die, you're immediately in eternity. So you're not at a place in eternity sooner or later than anyone else, which is kind of really hard to understand. Because we think when people die, they're waiting for us. They're probably not. They're probably not. Because we all exit it, and it doesn't matter where you exit it, you're in eternity. So technically you're in eternity all at the same time, which is a little bit weird. But if we think, thank you for your iPad, if we think of space-time as a device rather than as a timeline, this will make a little bit more sense. Now, the thing about God is he sees the boundary of the iPad. Okay, we can't see it. We're inside of it. So he sees the whole thing. He sees the ins and the outs. He sees the framework of time. He sees what has been. We can't see what has been. He sees what will be. Interestingly about the future is the future for us doesn't really exist, because when you get to your future, it's now the present. But he, because he's outside of that, can actually see how that all works. He understands the boundaries. He understands the limitations. He understands what is happening to us in that web. And because we don't, without God, we live life with no hope and completely with a sense of being futile. They can't see the boundaries. They can't see the overall picture. And we can, because we are connected to the one who created it. And that's why it says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, no one can fathom. No one can fathom that, because we're in it. But he can. Let's have a look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is, all present tense, he is a new creation. The old, now this is past tense, has gone. If something has gone, it can never be gotten back. It's gone. The old has gone and the new has come. That's very interesting. The old has gone, but the new has come. It doesn't say the new is coming. That's very interesting, because all the bad stuff is gone, but the new stuff is here, 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 here. It's not going to be here. It is here right now, because this is the only place we can be, is where we are. So everything God has for you is now. That's why he says all his promises are in him, yes, and in him, amen. They're yes, because they're now, and that's where we are right now. Wherever we are, his mercies are right there now. The new is here and here and here and here. So if you're tempted to think that good part of my life is gone, or God might not like me today, or God's forgiveness might not be as strong for me today, just remember that the new is here again and again and again and again. Because you are right here now. You can't be anywhere else but where you are. Therefore, his mercies are with you now. So if we think of time like this, I think a couple of things would probably happen. The first is that procrastination would no longer exist. I am so bad for this. It is like one of the things that I really my whole life have struggled with is, I just don't want to do that right now. I either don't want to face that right now, I don't want to do this right now, or I just can't be bothered. Or it's just something I don't want to think about. And, you know, Ben and I had our own business, and it started to get quite tough at one point. And at the end, when we were sort of, you know, finishing it all up and selling it up for whatever reason, a lot of people were chasing us for a lot of money. And the easiest way for me to deal with it was just to go, just not even open bills. Like, literally go to the mailbox, take the mail out, and literally throw it in the bin. Like, can't deal with it. Tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. But it's annoying, because tomorrow always comes. And so eventually you end up putting off everything that you could have just done. And that, you know, the age-old saying, what is it? Why put off today? Why put off till tomorrow what you can do today? Obviously, you can't do everything today. But if we realize that we only live now, let's just do what we need to right now, I think we'd live our lives a lot differently. James 4:17, let's have a look at that. I'm so bad with procrastination. I'm trying really hard, actually. Yeah, I do. Worked on it. Remember, it is a sin. We think of sin as these horrible things, but this seems really minor. Remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. If you know you should do something, don't put it off. You've only got the moment that you're in right now. Just do it. If God says do this, just do it. Love now. Forgive now. Forget the past now. Be good with your money now. Don't wait. Tithe now. Love your children now. It's a now thing. And I think it's a sin for God because it's gone. Once the moment's gone, it's gone. And you can't get that back. And, you know, God can renew things for you, as he does, but there's certain things, certain regrets that we don't want to regret things. And I know we can't be perfect, but if we made a conscious decision to do what is in front of us right now because it's there and we can, we would be a lot more effective for our families, for ourselves, for the kingdom of God. Amen. Luke 12, 35 and 36 says, be dressed. Don't get dressed. I love that. It doesn't say get dressed. Get dressed is a future thing. If you'll get to get dressed means you're going to go and do something. This says be dressed. That is, you have to be it all the time. Be dressed for service. Keep your lamps burning. It doesn't say go and burn your lamp. There is no future requests there. It says be and keep. As though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then it says, then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. Be dressed. Be ready. Be ready to do whatever it is God tells you to do. Be ready to move in whatever direction he says. Be in that perpetual state of being ready to hear from God and to do what he says. It's an everyday thing. You know, and if we're viewing eternity as where we are right now, putting things off seems futile because, you know, you might not see that person again. If you're in that web and you make that decision, that person deviates from your path, you might never see that person again. That opportunity might not come back again. There technically could not even be a tomorrow. Let's face it, that's by faith, just believing that tomorrow will be. Really. And so I think being aware of that and not procrastinating what we can do now will dramatically affect our lives. The second thing I think would change would be there would be no unforgiveness. This is a really, I think, a big revelation if we could grasp this. If yesterday is gone and tomorrow, you never really get to tomorrow until you're in it, then it's present. What is the point of unforgiveness? What is the point of that? There is no point to unforgiveness if you're only living right now. Interestingly, the Bible mainly talks about, well, he only ever says, remember things that are good. Remember the Lord's loving kindness. Remember what he has done for you. He really doesn't ever say to remember much else. And I find that very interesting. We like to remember everything about everyone, about every detail of our lives, about every detail about their lives, about every small thing they've ever said to you, about every single thing that's ever gone wrong. But there is actually no scriptural basis for even doing any of that. I've actually gone through, sometimes I go through my photos and I will actually throw away or delete photos that bring me to a place where I remember I felt very sad or very angry. Because there is no point in me, this is just for me personally, I'm not suggesting you go and do this. There are times, you know, I'm talking about children that have passed away. I'm not talking about things like that. I'm talking about things that have been a rough time in my life where it doesn't actually add to my life to remember it. Because God doesn't call me to remember things that bring me hurt. He calls me to remember things that glorify his name and propel me forward. And so if what I'm going to remember is going to cause me to despise someone else, or to despise where I am, then I don't need it. I don't need that negativity in my life. I don't need that memory of that is causing me pain. And this is why God wants us to move through grief. Grief is natural, but he wants us to move through it, because hanging on to the pain that was yesterday actually doesn't help your present or anyone else's. And I know there's people in this room that know that that's true. Amen. There will be no unforgiveness. Let's have a look at Matthew 18, 21 to 22. Another classic scripture. Then Peter came to him, to Jesus, and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? Seems like a nice little number, doesn't it? No, he says, not seven times. I think Peter probably thought that was like a good number, because most people wouldn't forgive once, maybe twice. So I think Peter thought he was kind of being a teacher's pet, going, yeah, seven times, Jesus? And he's like, actually, no, 70 times seven. And the meaning of that is forever. Now, that seems impossible to me. But if you think of time as where you are right now, it doesn't, because it means you're in a state of perpetual forgiveness. If each new moment has never existed and will never exist again, then each new moment is a moment to forgive. Each new moment is a moment to experience God's forgiveness for you and thereby pass it on to someone else. We're meant to be in a state of perpetual forgiveness. How can you possibly hold a grudge against someone else if you are forgetting what lies behind? How can you hold a grudge or resent someone if they've done something to you or you perceive that they've done something to you? How can you possibly hold that against them if you are living in a state of perpetual forgiveness, because each moment is new? Yesterday actually doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. So you are literally holding on to something that has no basis for your life today. All right, I'm going to move on to the last one. I think if we thought of time in this way, our decision-making processes in general would be altered. When you live life knowing that you are closest now to eternity than you will ever be, I think we would make decisions based on eternity and what God sees as eternal. Let's have a quick look at Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. You already have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is. Now, this particular phrase, things above, is not actually talking about a physical space above. It's actually talking about outside your device. Outside of your space-time, outside of where you live, think that's where Christ is. He's in eternity. He's outside of space and time. Think, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, past tense, and your life is what? Now hidden, not tomorrow hidden. Your life is now hidden. It's right now. Your life is now hidden. It doesn't say you died and your life was hidden. It says you died then, because of that, now, your life is hidden in Christ. So the action was done in the past. The effects live in every single moment. What God did once, that's why I love that one word. One word and the walls came falling. One word and the blind see. God's actions that are in the past, that have happened in the past, because he doesn't live there. He lives outside of the device. He doesn't live within the iPad. So what he says, what his words are eternal. So they are for us again and again and again. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And that is specifically talking about when Jesus returns again. And so I love that, because that means anything that God does for me is always for me. So tomorrow when I wake up, what he did for me in Jesus on the cross still affects me the same tomorrow, still affects me the same at lunchtime, still affects me the same at dinner time, still affects me 4 weeks from now when something happens that I didn't expect, still affects me in 2 years when other things happen that I don't expect. Things that he has done in eternity, things that he has done yesterday, in my yesterday's timeline, affect me now every day. And I can carry that with me. So, you know, when you think about that, the future can be a little bit, well, what is the future? Do we even have one if we're only living in today? And it can get a little bit tricky. If God created space-time, only really he can talk and prepare about the future, because he's outside of it. And he says to us, you have a future and a hope. He's the only one that can say anything about that. So when the enemy comes along or people come along and say, you literally have no future, they actually have no right. The devil has absolutely no right to have any say in your future, because he didn't create space-time to begin with. He doesn't sit outside of it orchestrating what happens. So God is the only one. So when God says, I give you a future and a hope, you can take that to the bank, because no one else can say anything about it. Any talk of the future has to be based purely on what God says. This is where our faith, and I love what Louise said last week, who made little dream boards for themselves? I'm thinking about it now. I've got little post-its. I've got my post-its stashed in my handbag. I love that, because you, in partnership with God, get to determine what tomorrow is. You do. I don't believe in fate. I don't believe that what will be, will be. I believe in God's sovereignty, but I believe I have free choice. And I believe God's overall plans for humanity will prevail. But that may or may not include me if I choose not. God's not going to override my will. He's not going to say, this is your life, I've planned it out for you, you are actually going to walk in it. His knowledge of what I will do is not the same thing. He knows what I will do. That's not the same thing as he predestining what I will do. And there's a very, very, there's a huge difference between God's predestining to you something and God's giving you a destiny and a plan and a purpose. We still have the choice to work that, to walk that out. And who's seen The Terminator? Come on, as if you're too afraid to put your hands up, as if you haven't seen The Terminator. Anyone from my generation seen The Terminator? And yeah, that quote from John Connor, does anyone know it? It's pretty famous. No? The future is not set. There is no fate but what we make for ourselves. Now, I get that that's a little humanistic, that obviously God has a lot of say in what happens, but it's not set. Your future's not set. What you decide today is entirely up to you. What you believe about the word today is entirely up to you. No one can tell you your future is a certain thing. The devil can't tell you what your future is. And, you know, that's why God said in Deuteronomy, choose life. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. He said to them, you choose it, and it will happen. You choose life. Why would he say choose life if we didn't have a say? If there's no actual concrete action in us choosing, then it's really just, well, we might as well just live however we want. So we choose each moment how to live our lives. Choosing is an everyday thing. It's an every moment thing. And time is a very precious commodity gifted to us. And, you know, I want to choose to not waste it. I'm actually going to stop there. I had a few things more to say, but I actually want to sing that last song. because I just really feel like there's a lot of anointing on that song today, and choosing to come back to Christ or choosing to continue to live in Christ is such a powerful, powerful thing. And I want to give people time to sort of just, I guess, just wrestle with that in their own brains.